Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Jesus says, it is finished, tetelestai, from the cross. He has finished that which he had begun. He had finished his purposeful life. He didn't leave anything undone. It is finished, tetelestai. What a tremendous word of victory and triumph. He didn't go through life saying, I'm a victim. Is that you? Oh, I'm a victim because I happen to this child and this and that. Oh, no. He went through not as a victim, but as a victor. Tetelestai. It is finished.
The truth is, you can find freedom in surrender. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, It Is Finished, and shares why you'll never regret surrendering your life to God. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, It Is Finished, Part 2.
And this is a supernatural aspect of the words, I thirst. It is that Jesus went to hell and he experienced that eternal thirst that people have who are without him. All the time. Are you thirsty? People run around, I'm thirsty. I want meaning. I want significance. I want freedom. I want understanding. Why did this happen? What's going on? I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. We know that Jesus identified with us as humans, and also his thirst was a supernatural thing. I thirst. I thirst. I thought about the woman at the well. They wanted to draw water for Jesus, and Jesus said, look, if you'd ask, I can give you water and you'll never be thirsty again. This is what Christ does when he comes in us and runs us. He takes over our life. He quenches that thirst. I thirst. What a powerful word. Look at the next word that we see in our scripture, also in the gospel according to John, verse 29. A jar full of wine was brought, and this was to quench his thirst. Verse 30, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. It is finished. Interesting. Jesus, early on the cross, they offered him sour wine. He rejected it. Now he takes the sour wine. And that was an act, not a vicious act. I've heard somebody, oh, how mean it was, that centurion to take that and put it on a sponge and put it in the mouth of Jesus. What a horrible thing. It was a great thing of compassion. He was thirsty. And this centurion, the one who was crucifying him, probably in charge of the group of Roman soldiers, he was the one who had compassion and got a branch of hyssop and dipped a sponge in some sour wine and gave it to Jesus to try to at least temporarily before he died to quench his thirst. I wonder if you and I, if we'd been in that crowd, he said, I thirst. I wonder if we'd gone out of our way and tried to do something to minister to him. I wonder. The last judgment, Jesus said, you were thirsty and You went out and quenched someone's thirst, and Jesus said, it's like you've done it to me. I was on an airplane a few years ago across the aisle. There's a baby crying. I mean, this mother was having a time. I mean, it was a two-year-old being everything only a two-year-old could be. I mean, it was bedlam. And I just said, you know, somebody ought to help her. Yeah. And a man got up, didn't know the woman, went over there, started playing with the baby. And they became friends, quieted the baby down, walked the baby a little bit. For long, he was asleep. I said, boy, that's a wonderful thing that man did. I said, you know, you could have done that. But it's somebody else. No, you need to do that, man. I need that you. You see, but the centurion, I thirst. It was the centurion who got up and said, let me do what I can to quench that thirst. I thirst. And now we see Jesus said, it is finished. Tetelestai is the Greek word. One word in Greek, two words. It is finished. What's finished? Somebody said, well, it's his life. He's suffered enough. He's finished. He's dead. No. Tetelestai is a note of triumph. You do not find this phrase in the other Gospels. But the other Gospel says he shouted in a loud voice, it is finished, tetelestai. What is that all about? It's about what he started off when he was 12 years old. Remember, he was left behind in the temple. His parents went on and forgot him, and his mother and dad went back and said, you know, why are you still here at church? Why are you still in the temple? And he looked and said, don't you know, I must be about my Father's business. What's finished here? The Father's business. What was the Father's business in Jesus' life? It was the Beatitudes. That's the Father's business. It was the miracles he performed. That was the Father's business. It was the teachings that he gave. That was the Father's business. It was a listening ear, teaching us how to pray. It was all he did. It was Gethsemane. It was the cross. That was the Father's business. Now he says, tetelestai, it is finished. Few people finish, but we start. I've got an old cassette series, 100 of them. And each cassette tells a story of what the person who put together thought of 100 greatest people who ever lived. Little story of their life. 100 cassettes, each one. And I've listened to them. I've noticed something. Everyone that I've listened to thus far didn't get through with their life. They didn't get through their bucket list. They didn't get through what they want to do in their life. And they're not able to say, it's finished, I'm done. There's always more to do. You read all the great people, that is true. From Michelangelo, the great sculptor and artist, he left half of his sculptures incomplete. Raphael, David Livingstone, the missionary, he didn't get through. You just don't get through in this life, do you? There's so many biblical truths in this book I would like to teach and preach and learn and apply to myself and share with others. Let me tell you something. I'll not get through. But to think that Jesus, the Father's business, he said, tetelestai. And that was a very common word. Look at a list, if you would. There's a list here of five ways this word was used. In the marketplace, when someone would come and they would pay a bill that they owed, they'd write tetelestai. When my dad had a country store that was about a little bigger than this stage, maybe with the orchestra, it was about this size. That's how big it was. On a highway, Highway 84, there are two little tanks out in front, gas tanks. You see them all over the South. And my dad had a counter there, and he had this bills that he would put there, little booklets for all the customers. Most of his customers were cotton farmers, and some were tenants, some were owners, some were sharecroppers. And so he'd run up their bill because they had no money when they were planting cotton, but they had families. So they'd buy their groceries and their stuff. My dad, he'd get their account, and when the cotton came in and they sold the cotton, they had money, and they would come and pay off their account. My dad would pull out that little book. He'd write on it, paid in full, tetelestai. Paid in full. That happens in the marketplace. Also, artists, when they finished a painting, they could say, man, tetelestai, it is finished. It's done for. A priest would come. And a priest would take a sacrifice from the altar and look at an animal and say, oh, listen, you brought me that sick sheep that's about half dead. God's not going to accept that. Examine the animal to see if it didn't have any blemish. If it had no blemish, he would stamp on it, tetelestai. And it's okay. A servant would come and finish a task. They would say, tetelestai, it is finished. You have done it. It has been paid in full. And then a prisoner would serve their time, and they'd be released, and they'd put the stamp on it, paid in full, tetelestai. See, a common word. Jesus says, it is finished, tetelestai, from the cross. He has finished that which he had begun. Tremendous word. I thirst. Oh, what it means. Tetelestai, it is finished. So much of our lives will be unfinished. What did he finish? All the Old Testament covenant, remember, has been fulfilled in the New Testament. He had finished his purposeful life. He didn't leave anything undone. It is finished. Tetelestai. What a tremendous word of victory and triumph. He didn't go through life saying, I'm a victim. Said you, oh, I'm a victim because I happened to this child and this and that. Oh, no. He went through not as a victim, but as a victor. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is finished. Now, the final word from the cross, I think, is perhaps one of the greatest words of all, next to the fourth word, the seventh word. Look at it in Luke, chapter number 24, verse 45. Because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit, or I surrender my spirit. Into your hands I surrender my spirit. It's a prayer. The seven last words begins with a prayer, doesn't it? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The last word of the seven last words we're studying, it ends with a prayer. Father, into thy hands I surrender. I commit my spirit. Would you find that anywhere else in the Bible? Every Jew would know where that prayer of Jesus came from. It's Psalm 31. Every Jewish child would be taught to pray that prayer at night. Father, into thy hands I surrender my spirit. Every night they would pray that. What were we taught? Now I lay me down to sleep. Bless the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, bless the Lord my soul to keep. That was the prayer. How many have sort of learned that prayer as kids? If you kind of learned that prayer, yeah. And that we were saying the same thing the Jewish kids were saying, see? Father, I surrender my spirit to you. Lord, if I should die before my wake, bless the Lord my soul, I surrender. We're praying the same thing. So Jesus was praying the prayer he learned at his mother's knee every night of his life. As he was dying, he prayed that prayer with one difference. In Psalm 31, it says, a thing of committing, I surrender to you. I surrender my spirit to you. But Jesus said, Lord, into your hands I surrender my spirit. See, Lord, Jesus brought the understanding that God is not some lofty heavenly Father with all these big, hard, legalistic requirements, but he is a Abba, he is a Dad. Jesus said, Abba, confidently, I commit myself, I surrender myself into your hands. Now, Jesus had been in some vicious hands, hadn't he? I mean, they'd slapped him, they'd hammered him, they'd kicked him. He'd been in a vicious environment now. But now as he dies, he says, Lord, Abba, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I don't know anything about Allstate insurance. I don't think I've ever had Allstate insurance. It may be good, it may be bad. That's not the issue. But they've got a great marketing too. You're in good hands with, oh yeah, we know that. Jesus from the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I surrender my spirit. That's the Christian life, folks. You got any problem, any situation? Just into thy hands I surrender this. I surrender. The Christian life, let me say it for the 10,527th time, is not trying. Anybody said, I'm trying to be a Christian. I know they don't understand zip about the Christian life. You're missing it. You don't try, you surrender. It's easy to try. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do this, give this, go that. No. It is surrender. It is exactly this. In the name of Jesus Christ, into thy hands, Father, I surrender all. I surrender. When you surrender whatever it is, folks, he can handle it. He'll take us through. We're in good hands. The genius is surrender, surrender, to surrender. There's hardly a morning I get up, hardly a morning I go down in my prayer is not surrender. It works. I know it. I've got years of surrendering. And when I don't surrender and I try to fight and I try to try, I always fall and miss it. Surrender, surrender all. He can take care of it. I read an interesting thing. There's a flying troop that works for the German circus called the Rodleys. It's a whole family of them. And they do those amazing trapeze things. And someone was interviewing one of the Rodleys, and he was explaining that to fly through the air and do those flips, the flyers, everybody, oh, look, he did 3.5 flips, and he came in, and that guy caught him. Boy, that's really, he said, you can find dozens and dozens of flyers. Anybody can learn to be a flyer. Keith could be a flyer. He really could. If he lives to be 250. But anybody can be a flyer. The Rodley says, it's no problem to be a flyer. He said, the hero in these trapeze acts is the catcher. He said, you can find dozens of flyers. You just can hardly find someone who can swing out at the right time, is strong enough to catch you, to hold you, and consistent enough to never make a mistake. He said, those kind of individuals are rare, 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 with years of training and work and effort. He said, you can find all kind of flyers that we're so impressed with. But he said, it is those catchers. Those catchers. I want you to see it in real life. Look at this. This is the Rodleys here. Here's the flyer. There he goes. Look, boy, we all applaud. Look, how many flips he do? One, I don't know. There's one, two, boy. You know, a lot of people learn how to do that, by the way. Bang, he comes down here and woof. Look. The real hero is the guy who's going to catch him. Now, let me tell you something. Rodley says if a flyer, one doing the flips, tries to catch the arms of the catcher, he'll either break his arms or wrist or break the arms of the catcher, and there's going to be a fall. The flyer can never try to catch the arms of the catcher. If he does it, it's disastrous. He said it is the catcher who has to catch the flyer, and all the flyer has to do is to surrender and extend his arms. It's up to the catcher. What does that mean? The catchers catch and the flyers fly. You got it? We go through life. We're flyers. We're flyers. Oh, Lord, I want to do something. No. Father, into thy hands, the Heavenly Father is our catcher. I commend my spirit. I surrender. The flyer surrenders. He does nothing, as we're going to see in a minute, but just extend his hands and surrender confidently that the catcher will catch him. Because we're in Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, we are flying through life. We can be confident of one thing. When we learn the genius of surrender, our Heavenly Father as we learn how to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. We just extend our arms and we surrender whatever it is, whatever it's about. And I'll tell you something, He will catch us every single time.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. It's a pleasure to have Dr. Young join us in the studio now. Dr. Young, in today's message, you talked about the risk of picturing God as too big or too small, too far out there and disconnected, or simply human, the man. Can you talk about the importance of balancing that perspective?
Some people have the idea that God is too big. Others have the idea that God is too small. A God that is too big, that would be under the deist. They have the idea that God wound up this world, created it, and just moved out and said, lots of luck. Others have the idea that God is so small, you cannot get to Him, you cannot understand Him, you have only natural revelation, there's nothing personal about it I can identify with. Both extremities are heresy. God is not too big. God is not too small. We might say, God is just right. How do we know that? Because Jesus came into the world and was totally man to identify with us. He was totally God so He could point us to the Almighty. And that is the mystery and the miracle of the incarnation. Jesus came and set the balance right. Totally God, totally man, so that He is our Savior now and our Savior forever.
Thank you, Dr. Young.
James 3:8. For no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Have you heard the expression, one rotten apple will spoil the whole barrel? In the days when people keep apples in a root cellar, if they put a rotten apple in a barrel with good apples, before long, every apple in the barrel would be rotten. The Bible teaches that the tongue can be deadly. Say the wrong word at the wrong time, and that word is like a rotten apple that can upset an office, a friendship, a home, or any relationship. A heart can be compared to the core of an apple. The real problem is, what? With my heart. I'm rotten inside. Now to fix it, we need to pray as David did. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. God, as only He can do, won't just improve your heart. He will give you, He will create in you a new heart, one that is absolutely brand new.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you. And we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who He is, what He did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, He spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young reveals the keys to living an abundant life.